Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you're watching Cowboy Church Summer Version.
You
changed your hat.
Yeah, I did. You know when you're supposed to change your hat?
When?
When it gets cold.
That's true.
But really, the tradition is you change your hat for Easter.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then... Yeah. Then it kind of depends on when the snow comes when you change it in the fall.
Right. The wind starts whistling through there and you're a little bit cold, yeah. You better change your hat.
If you live in Montana or North Dakota, it's Wednesday.
That's right.
If it's... somebody said up there, they said, you have a great summer? And he says, oh, it's perfect. It lasted 2 weeks this year.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have much time. One straw cowboy hat lasts for 8 years.
Really?
Well, if it's only 2 weeks long, it would.
Well, I was a little bit discombobulated there because I was fixing to ask you a question. What do you do with your hat when you're on a plane? Do you wear it?
I do, and then I put it in my lap or on my little tray.
Okay.
And
it just becomes a nuisance at that point, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
Just
a bit. And what do we complain on Cowboy Church in front of everybody?
Of course, Yeah.
Well, they always want to stick your hat through the roller deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they've got black stuff in there that scuffs a nice white felt hat.
Right.
And so I always ask, can you hand check my hat? And most places are real compliant. But I ran into a guy, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
He grabs my hat, he turns it over and turns it inside out, pulls the things out, mashes. I've got a $500 hat that was given to me. And he mashed the thing and had wrinkles in it the rest of his life because he had that. And I said, dude, why did you do that to that hat?
Right.
And man, he started to do that at me, and I thought,
bow up at
you. And I don't want to cause any problems, but man, I tried to get his name and he kept moving. I couldn't read it. It was a little tiny car. I wanted to turn him in. You know. Then I had to go pray about it. I got victory. So
well, you know, and that you're just human, Russ. You're just human, and you know, you were trying to be a steward of the fancy hat that you had, and
that was given to me as a gift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be the same way. So we're here in the summer, and it's a wonderful time of year. Ball games are going, and you're having picnics, you're at the lake, but we want to thank you for tuning in to Cowboy Church. Stay tuned. We've got some singing, we've got some wonderful speaking, and just let the Word of God penetrate your heart today. You know, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. So if it encourages you to love and good works today, we have really, really done our job. If it convicts you, then take it as it comes. But you know what? God's not a big old daddy up there with a whip trying to whip you into shape. He's one, a good father. He brings you, he tells you what you've done right, and he admonishes you a little bit on, you know, you need to change a few things. So listen with your heart. And he is merciful and he's full of grace for you today. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Susie, you're pretty sharp. So this is the way you got so sharp is by listening to the Word of God?
Exactly.
All right.
Watching people live it around me is the greatest thing in the world.
It does make a difference, doesn't it?
It does.
To a land where joy's in the air. Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dear rest and best for a world of lost sinners were slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will so despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on
Hey, one of the greatest things that's happened to Cowboy Church, in my opinion, because I'm very biased, is we get to have my own brother, Randy Weaver, as one of our guest speakers quite mm-hmm. often. His church in Montgomery is Lone Star Cowboy Church,
yes.
And he just does things. I'm kind of envious of the guy. He's one of the greatest managers I know. Mm-hmm. He's a super pastor,
yes.
And you will enjoy his message.
Talk to you this morning about the resurrection repercussions, the things that happen after the resurrection. And 50 days after the Passover was the Feast of Pentecost. The word Pentecost actually means 50, and a lot of people, they correlate Pentecost with Pentecostals. You with me? And so, and then sometimes when we think about Pentecostals, we don't always know what to think, and there's a lot of different reactions to Pentecost. Some people think Pentecostals, like they bite the heads off of chickens, they play with some snakes, and they swing from their chandeliers. Those are Pentecostals. And then they're like, if you didn't know, we are Pentecostals around here. I don't know if you knew that or not, but like we believe in Pentecost. We believe in the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe, in fact, when Jesus said that no good gift would he withhold from those that love him, we just get right under that Christmas tree because we want everything God has for us. Amen. So I just want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit fell, and we have a lot of different backgrounds in different religions here at this church, and we love to have everybody from every different thing. It's just like a box of chocolates, we just love chocolate. And so thanks for being here. We understand that we don't want to compromise anything that the Word of God says, and we don't want to add to it or take away from it, amen? And so we have to be careful, though, because a good light always draws a few bugs. For every good thing, somebody's going to mess up a good thing. And so what I want to challenge you with, you may have had a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. Please, if there's negative things in your life about that, I just want to challenge you today. Please, just open up your heart and open up your mind, and I promise you, I will not teach you anything that's not grounded in the Word of God. If it's in there, listen, if it's in there, we believe it. And if it's not in there, we're not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Yes. But I think a lot of times people ask a lot of questions that are irrelevant. Right. Case in point, there is a group of lawyers in Massachusetts, and they printed these questions in the Association's Law Journal that some lawyers actually used in court. One of those questions was, the youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? Yeah, no, really, another question was asked, was it you or your younger brother that was killed in the war? Here's another one. How far apart were the vehicles at the time of the collision? How far apart were the vehicles? Well, they're pretty close together. The last one, thank God. You were there until the time you left. Is that true? Seriously. I mean, like, seriously. Some questions do not deserve an answer. You with me? The questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, however, do deserve an answer. Today we're going to try to tackle some of those things. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, we believe, is for all of us. Some teaching on the Holy Spirit has been abused by an unbalanced focus on tongues, speaking in tongues, that sets up a sort of spiritual elitism, the haves and the have-nots. God doesn't give us any gift so that we can flaunt it in front of people. God doesn't give you something so that you can walk around with your nose up in the air and say, I'm so spiritual. He doesn't do that. He gives it to you for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, and we're going to get into that this morning. This too can and has caused many to miss out on all that God has for them. And many times what we in this culture today, we're really good at judging God from the way people live. We say, well, this certain person acts this way, And I don't want none of that. So please don't judge God by the way can I say, stupid people live real fast. Don't judge God by that, okay? So we'll begin in the New Testament, the Old Testament. Does the Old Testament talk about spirit baptism? Well, the first function of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, it talks about power, which is extraordinary power, something extraordinary that's happened in the Old Testament. While the Spirit's empowering work is evident in the Old Testament, it was limited to select individuals when the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Spirit came on Samson whenever he pushed the walls down. The Spirit came upon prophets whenever they prophesied and they told somebody what God had told them about that. And that's part of what happened in the Old Testament. And sometimes we read the Old Testament, we say, man, God was a harsh, hard God in the Old Testament. Listen to me, God never changes. And what you saw in the Old Testament that was concealed was revealed in the New Testament. You see, when Jesus came, he came and he covered over those sins. A sacrifice of blood of the animals was not enough until the perfect sacrifice came. And you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, you are pure and holy in the sight of God because of Jesus' sacrifice. That should make us want to fall in love with him more and want everything that he has for us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I want everything. I'm like, you got it, I want it. Free is for me. That's my little saying. Free is for me. You with me? However, the Old Testament looks for a new day when the Messiah, Jesus, would bring about an age when all of God's people would receive the empowerment to work to God's work. And Joel 2 in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 28, looked ahead in time, and it says, and afterwards, verse 28, it says, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Everybody say all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God said he would pour his spirit out and I will show wonders in the heaven and on earth. And he's looking forward back from the time of Joel all through the time of the dispensation of grace that we live in until Jesus comes back to get us. And he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You remember a few months back they had the blood, what they call the blood moon? I was like, that woke me up. And it says, and everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. So I have to call on the name of the Lord. I have to accept him and accept what he has and who he is. In contrast to the Old Testament, when the Spirit's empowering work was limited to select individuals, the outpouring of the Spirit in this future age will extend to all people. That's us, God's people, and will be characterized by the Spirit's empowering. The second function of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was purification, which is important. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone. He said, I'm going to take out your old hard heart. Yes. You ever get hard heart? Don't raise your hand. Did you ever get hard hearted? And then he says, I will give you a heart of flesh and I will put my spirit in you. It wasn't like the Old Testament where it says he will give his spirit and he'll give it and take it away. But he said, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Depends on who you ask. You need to understand that biblical writers sometimes used words and phrases in different ways. Case in point. If I said to you, if I made a statement to you, see, has anybody ever played the I forget what it's called. This just came to you. Where you say a phrase and then you whisper it to somebody and then by the time you get to the telephone game? What? Gossip. Okay. Well, since we're Christians, we'll call it the telephone game. But by the time it gets down to the end, I mean, it's a whole new... So if I said to you, if I made this statement to you this morning, case in point, that John Smith is hot, what would you think about it? You can tell your neighbor what... Okay, you could take that a lot of different ways. In the... Well, it's a point in my sermon. So, if it's on a sports page, it would mean that John Smith was hot. I mean, he was making a lot of baskets and he was making a lot of touchdowns, whatever sport he was in. If he's in People's Magazine issue of the sexiest man alive, which most of you women were thinking about when I said John Smith was hot, then that would mean something different. What if we saw that John Smith was furiously yelling at someone? That would mean John Smith was hot, meaning he was mad, right? Or if John Smith had a thermometer in his mouth and a nurse was standing by him, he would say John Smith was hot because he had a temperature. You see what I'm saying? So we have to put everything in context, and we have to say it and think about it the way God meant for us to think about it. And I will say this, when it comes to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it comes to speaking in tongues and all of those things in the scripture, if we're not comfortable with it, we're going to interpret it the way we want to because we're not comfortable with it. And I'm going to say this, please don't ever interpret scripture in the way that makes you comfortable.